John in chapter 20 this evening, as we began from verse 1. I don't know how many months we've been in this book, but it's been a blessing to me to be able to go through it. You could probably divide this chapter up. Verses 1 to 10 gives us the account of the resurrection, the empty tomb. Verse 11 through 18, we find Him appearing to His disciples. Verses 19 through 29, the unbelief of Thomas. The last couple of verses, verse 30 and 31, we see in the conclusion why these things were written down and given to us. He said in verse 1, in the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre, then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Notice he came first. He stooping down in verse 5, and looking in and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went in. Notice he goes in and seeth the linen clothes lie in the napkin. Verse 7, that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went he in also, that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. We find in verse 11 that Mary stood there weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in. And of course, the angels are there in verse 12, verse 13, and then the Lord Jesus appears to her and reveals Himself to her. Now, Father, we thank You tonight for this privilege that You've given us. We thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for this week, Lord, that You've allowed us to have good health and to work, and Lord, to be active and busy for Thee. We thank You for the privileges that You've given us. Now, God, this evening I ask, Lord, that You would just anoint and bless the reading of Thy Word. Pray this evening, Lord, that You would fill us with Thy Holy Spirit. You would bring us nigh unto Thee, work among us. Lord, use us for Thy honor and Thy glory. And God, prepare us for this week that we'd be a testimony for Thee to others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we begin here in this chapter, and I'm going to take so many verses here tonight, we'll probably break the studies up in John chapter 20, probably in two different weeks. Probably this week and at the most 3 weeks. We'll cover several verses this evening. Now, I want you to notice that as we begin in verse 1, he said, In the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away. Then she runneth, in verse 2, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And she began telling them what was taking place. Now, in verses 30, and I mentioned this, verse 30 and 31, we find here said, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Now, God has given us His Word, and He's given us these things that we might believe and that we might have eternal life. And so, thank God for His Word. We thank Him for our salvation, for the Holy Spirit that illuminates. But He gives us His Word that we might believe, that we might know the truths, that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This chapter begins with the resurrection. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses about 5 through 9, there was at least 500 people that had seen the Lord Jesus Christ after that He was raised from the dead. As we begin this chapter, we find some women And it's interesting how that they had followed the Lord in His ministry. They had followed Him to the cross, and here they are on resurrection morning. Let me say this before we get into this, and we'll say a few things about Mary Magdalene. Give you just a few scripture on this. But it is interesting how important that we find that the sisters play in this great commission that we have, whether they be young or whether they be old. And we must never lose sight of that. You know, we talk about the importance of, for instance, in the leadership of the church is to be male, and that is true. And we'll always do that. And that they're to lead the church and lead their homes and things of that nature, but never underestimate the blessings that come through women, Christian women, whether young or old. And over the years I've learned this, to appreciate this in the 25 years that I've been pastoring. And over the years I've seen different women in the assemblies that I have great respect for, that I believe love the Lord, very spiritual in their walk with the Lord, and they're very important. As we look at this, read Romans chapter 16 to find a list of people, and you'll find women that are included in that list that God used, that they were a blessing. And you cannot have a church without the ministry of the ladies. Amen? It does not work without their touch. Well, here in this passage, we find that, and I believe that she comes alone to seek the Lord before the party, the other party that's mentioned in Luke chapter 24. So we find the courage of this woman, Mary Magdalene. And this courage is a special gift. It is not within the power of ourselves. Believing women, as we find here in this passage, the believing women, I want you to think about this, they were last at the cross and they were first at the tomb on resurrection morning. It wasn't the disciples. And one writer had made this statement about Mary Magdalene, and he had said, she followed Christ courageously when His disciples left Him cowardly. She accompanied Him to the cross, followed His hearse to the grave, and now early in the morning she goes to visit His sepulcher, fearing neither the darkness of night nor the presence of the watchman. How true that this is. And so we find the women coming there. They're the first there. And here is this woman that she is, I believe, the very first to come. Now, she runs and tells Peter and John, this other disciple. And they come and they look. And then they go home. But I want you to notice a few things about this lady. Turn with me to Luke in chapter 8, and let me mention this first of all in Luke chapter 8. Notice her salvation and her deliverance. We find that in Luke chapter 8, reading in verse 1 and in verse 2. He says here in this passage, he said, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Here's a woman that not only needed to be saved, but she was possessed with 7 devils. She came to the Lord, she trusted Him as her Savior, and she was delivered of this demonic oppression. Then as we come to the book of Mark in chapter 15, in the book of Mark in chapter 15 and in verse 39, notice she followed His ministry, witnessed the cross, stayed for His burial, and was there on the first day of the week to anoint His body. That's one of the reasons that they were there. Mark chapter 15 and verse 39. We find here in this passage, he says this, he said, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. And there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and the mother, Mary the mother of James, the less. Notice that. And we find that in verse 41, he said, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. These are women that had trusted Jesus Christ as Messiah. These are women that not only had trusted him, but they played a part in his life and his ministry, and they followed the Lord. Now the Bible says they ministered unto him. Notice with me as we come into chapter 16 of the book of Mark. In chapter 16, he says in verse 1 and 2, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and the mother, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and had brought sweet spices, and that they might come and anoint him. And the next verse said, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came. So they had come. They had followed him in his ministry into the cross, into the grave, the tomb, and now they're here to still yet play a part in the Lord's life. Come down with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. He says here in verse 9, he said, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared, notice first, to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Notice the honor that is placed upon this woman. And you'll notice her delight in the Lord. He appeared first to this woman. Many would say, well, she probably didn't deserve to be appeared to first, but God chose her. He said in verse 10 of this chapter, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, notice they believed not. So God revealed himself unto this woman, not the disciples upon the first day of the week. Turning back with me, please, to the book of John. In John, in chapter 20. So do not underestimate the ministry and the things that God is doing and is using with Christian women. As we come back here, we find that he says this in verse 3, and Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples, and notice they came to the sepulchre. He said in verse 4, and so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and he came, notice first. The other disciple, we've already looked at this, I believe it's John. Why do I believe that? Well, in chapter 13, in verse 23, chapter 19, in verse 26, chapter 21, verses 7 and 24, we find reference to this. I believe that he's referring to himself. I wouldn't argue with you about that, but that's what I believe he's doing. As we come through these verses, we find that they both go in verses 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, and they're looking into the tomb. They see in verse 7 the napkin that was about his head now lying with the linen clothes being wrapped together in a place by itself, and they were basically folded, and they're laying in a place by themselves. In verse 9, he says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now here we are on resurrection morning. And the Bible says that they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. I want to just refresh your memory this evening with a few passages on the Lord's ministry, what he told them, and what they did not understand until after this day. Turn with me, please, in the book of John in chapter 2. Now, first of all, I want to establish you the fact, and we've spoken about this before, but just for a few moments, I want to establish the fact that the Lord had often spoken of his death, burial, and resurrection. Notice, why was it that they didn't know or understand? He said in John chapter 2 and in verse 18, we find, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He's talking about his resurrection. In John chapter 3, notice with me in verse 14. In John chapter 3 and in verse 14, it says, "And Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Notice in John chapter 12, without any doubt, the Lord spoke. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have it recorded. He spoke of His death, burial, and resurrection, and still yet they understood not. In John chapter 12, we're going to be reading in verse 34. We find here, he says, "And the people answered him, 'And we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?'" Notice, be lifted up, that is to be lifted up and die upon the cross. Now, I want you to come back with me. Let me take Matthew 16, and we're going to turn to the book of Luke. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, and notice here. Now, this is where that the Lord Jesus Christ asked His disciples, He say, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, you know, they say, well, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremias, and or one of the other prophets. And He asked them, He said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter spoke up. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "My Father has revealed this unto you." He says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In verse 18 and verse 19, He said, "I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Then in verse 20, He charged His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. Now notice the next verse. He said in verse 21, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." He begins showing, speaking to His disciples. But notice, He says here, "Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.' But He turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man.'" Jesus began talking about His crucifixion. He began talking about, "I must be delivered unto the Gentiles. I must be lifted up. I must die." But He said, "I will rise again." And Peter's saying, "No way is this going to happen to you." Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. In the book of Luke, and in chapter 18. In Matthew 12 and verse 40, if you're taking notes tonight, we find that Christ had referred to the history of Jonah. And Jonah was a type and proof of the resurrection. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, He said, "So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And He would be resurrected. So Jesus had repeatedly foretold of His resurrection, and still yet they did not understand it. In Luke chapter 18, there's a reason for that. In Luke chapter 18, we find, as we come to verse 31. In verse 31, "Then He took unto Him the 12, and said unto them, 'Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles.'" Now notice, He said, all things that are written down, they're going to be accomplished. "For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge Him, and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again." Now He's given them the truths that you and I know of the gospel. And He said, this is written down. The prophets have foretold of this. The Bible said in verse 34, "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Now they believed He was the Messiah. They believed He was the Savior of the world, that was sent by God. And still yet there were things written down about the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection, written down by Isaiah, written in Genesis, written in Psalms, and written in other places. And he says, they understood none of these things. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, now this is after the resurrection as we're reading in the book of John. Notice as we come to this, now as we go through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 16 talks about this. Acts chapter 2 verse 25 through 31 talks about the prophets and the resurrection. And Acts chapter 13 verse 34 and 35 talks about the prophets and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice in John chapter 1. Somebody told me this morning I went too fast with giving the references. And I'm looking at the timer here. And I was thinking I only had 70 minutes and I had 80 and to preach. And I was running, ticking this thing down. It was almost 70 minutes. And I'm just, you know, giving these out. I didn't realize I had another 10 minutes on the CD. We're going to have to just go ahead and get some DVDs and start recording. But anyway, notice in Luke chapter 24. I didn't want to go that fast because it was a very, very important subject. But notice he said here, this is after the resurrection. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week, next week, maybe the following week. And he said in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Notice which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. That's the three divisions of the Old Testament. The law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, the prophets and the Psalms. He said, I've told you, I've quoted the scripture over and over, and I gave you. He said, these are the things I give you that are now fulfilled. And he said in verse 45, now look at this, this is very important. Then opened he their understanding. Now he's already told them that this is going to be true. These things are going to happen. They understood none of these things. But it said, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance should be and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. What's the key here? Well, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, he would die for the sins of the world, that he would give his life, but that he would rise again the third day. It was written down, but it was hid from their understanding. And he waited until after he was raised from the dead to give them the full truth of this gospel message and make it plain and clear to them and open their eyes. We must have our eyes opened by the Holy Spirit. We must pray that the Holy Spirit work in our lives. If not, somebody else will see truth and we will not see it, and we'll argue with them over this truth. We must pray that God illuminate our minds and our hearts. But He opened their eyes that they might understand. It's been written down for hundreds of years, and now He opened their eyes. Another passage on this. Turn to Romans 16. And I'm going to go to one other, and then we're going to go back to John. Romans chapter 16. And notice here. We would call this the mystery of the gospel. Not something that's mysterious or spooky, but something that was written down, something that was hidden, like it had something, a cover over that until the time for it to be revealed. In Romans chapter 16, notice in verse 25, now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to what? The revelation of the mystery, which had been kept secret whence? Since the world began. This truth, this gospel truth was ordained, according to Timothy and other places, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. But he's saying that this, the revelation of the mystery, this gospel, he said, was kept secret since the world began. It was ordained before the foundation world, but it's been kept a secret. It's been written down, but it's been kept a secret. He said in verse 26, but now, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but now, is made, notice, manifest, that is to be made known, and by the Scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. He says in verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." The testimony of God here is the gospel of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." Here's the reason why. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now notice carefully the next three verses. He says in the next three verses, verse 6, he said, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God." Now the wisdom of God has to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, "We speak the wisdom of God." Notice, in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, notice, under our glory. Now listen to me. This gospel message that you and I are talking about, this salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, he's saying that this gospel, this wisdom, this mystery was ordained before God ever created the world, before He ever created Adam and even placed them in the garden. He knew they would fall, and He ordained this truth before the foundation world. Notice, unto what? Our what? Glory. That is our salvation. You've heard me preach on the doctrine of glorification. What is that doctrine? That we would be one day, we will appear with Him in glory. We will receive glorified bodies. So before the foundation world, this is ordained that you and I would live eternally with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, but then we found in Romans that this mystery, this truth has been kept a secret since the foundation or the beginning of the world. Now look at this next passage. He said, verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it," what? This revelation, this mystery, this wisdom. There's a little bit of difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is the working out of that which we know. And God's worked out His plan of redemption. And so He said, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it," what? The mystery. In this passage, "had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Not only did disciples not know it, the devil didn't know it. The rulers in Israel did not know it. The chief priests and the scribes did not know it. The Roman governors and the king did not know it. Because if the devil had known that by Jesus dying on the cross, that you and I here in Codin tonight could rest securely in the blood that He shed at Calvary's cross, knowing that we have eternal life, He would have never, ever put Him on that cross. Now, as we come back to John chapter 20 and verse 9, He says, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. Brief was they there at the tomb." Now, not being critical of them, but they're probably saying, "Well, what else can we do? He's not here. He's gone. What is going on?" But they went home. But here we have this lady again. In verse 11, "but Mary stood without." Notice she's weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down. She looks back in again in verse 11. "And seeth two angels in white sitting, and the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him." She remained after every... She got there first. And she remained after everybody else left. Great love she had for God. And great revelation that she received from God. A quote by another author, he made this statement, he said, "The love of Christ will make us bound in every duty more than anything else." The love. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 14. He says, if it's not, it's within that vicinity. He said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us. We thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." What is it that constrains us here tonight? Why do we want to serve the Lord, raise our families in the things of the Lord and pray for them and teach them and train them? Why do we want to speak to people about the Lord and be kind to them, witness to them? Why do we want to hand out gospel tracts and tithe and support missions and all these kind of things? Is it because we're afraid that God will kill us? Is it because that we're you know, what is it that drives us? Is it we're being beat over the head with a law? No. This morning I preached on fleeing fornication. Why do I want to flee that? Because of what God has said. It is the love of Christ that constrain us. We're not in the business of making excuses. But He constraineth us. He compels us. It is that love that pushes us on. It's that love that says, I want to serve my Savior. In verse 13. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepeth thou?" And of course she told them why. In verse 14, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." This woman doesn't quit. She doesn't make any excuses. She got in on this thing, and she's going to endure to the end. She's going to stay with it. Verse 16, "And Jesus said unto her, Mary, as she turned to him, turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that He had spoken these things unto her. I'm gonna back up and make a few comments here, but we're gonna stop right here. But notice as we come back to verse 17. And notice this in verse 17. In verse 17, now verse 16, he evidently spoke to her in a tone of voice or revealed himself, whatever the case, maybe she understands who this is. In verse 17, by the way, this verse, this passage has given rise to a variety of interpretations. And let me just give you something very simple and uncomplicated this evening. If you take this passage and compare it with Matthew 28:9, it appears that Mary falls at His feet, like, you know, grabs His feet, clings to His feet. And here's what He said. He said, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." Now, I'm sure there's more in this than what I'm fixing to tell you, but let me just keep it simple, because there's a variety. You go to the commentaries, a variety of interpretations. As a matter of fact, this Bible was used many, many years ago. It looks pretty good, because it's been on the shelf for probably 10 years, and gotten back out about a year or so ago. I've got three or four just like this. And I got one that I carry everywhere with me. It's got duct tape on it. And it's got surgical tape on it now to keep it together. But anyway, this Bible was used several years ago, and I put a little footnote. And this doesn't have a lot of notes, but I put a little footnote in it. And I put here beside this, and they were not allowed to touch him. There was a high priest until he came out of the most holy place where he had offered the blood. Jesus had not ascended into heaven to offer himself. Now, there may be some elements of truth in that, but I'm probably going to erase, glad it's in pencil, I'm probably going to erase this little notation out of here. You say, why would you do that? Because I don't want to add anything to the passage that's not there. Now, what did he say? He simply said, don't touch me right now. That's pretty simple. You know, basically what he's saying, don't cling to me. She's probably holding his feet. And don't detain me. Don't embrace me now. I got to go. But I'll be back. Now, I'm not going to go beyond that. Now, if there's something else here and the Lord shows it to me or you know something else, then we'll talk about that. But I'm not going to speculate too much about the passage. And Mary's probably clinging to him. And, you know, she's excited to see the Lord in his resurrection state. Because she's followed him all the way through his ministry. And even to the cross, even to the grave, the tomb, and now in resurrection. And I believe he's simply saying, go tell the others that you have seen me, I've reported to you, I am raised from the dead. And she does that. And then, as we begin in verse 19, next week, the Lord appears to the other disciples. I don't want to complicate the text. There may be more to it. The notation I just read to you may be close to something. But let's keep it simple. We don't know that that's the case, right? We're always getting into areas of speculating on things, and that gets us in trouble, does it not? Stick with what we know to be the truth. Well, I'm going to stop right there.